Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. You'll notice Psalm 1 starts out by saying book 1, Psalms 1 through 41. Do you see that? Right before Psalm 1, it says book 1, Psalms 1 through 41. That header actually shows and demonstrates that there are five books or five collections of psalms in the Psalms. There's 150 total psalms, but there's actually five collections or five books of psalms in our book of Psalms. All these psalms are put together to tell a larger, more grand story of how God interacts with his people. See, these five books of psalms actually spans over 500 years of Israel's history. The author of the Psalms varies from David to the sons of Korah, to Asaph, to Solomon, many different writers of the Psalms. We generally think of David writing the Psalms, but over 500 years of Israel's history is portrayed in these Psalms. For example, Book 1 is from Psalms 1 through 41. This tells primarily of the early life of David. This early life of David is roughly around 1000 BC, and these psalms are generally what he wrote, what he felt when he was trying to become king. When he was anointed king to when he became king, these are the psalms that portray David's early life. Book 2, however, Psalms 42 through 72, these psalms were written primarily when David was king. This is the kingly life of David when he was king of Israel. Psalms 42 through 72. Book 3, Psalms 73 through 89, there are very few psalms that were written by David, but the compiler of all of these psalms focused these psalms primarily when Israel was living in sin, when the nation was divided, David was dead, Solomon was dead, the nation is divided. This is roughly in the 2 Kings era of our Bible. And the kings and the people did what was right in their own eyes. The nation was divided, mostly evil kings, and Israel was in complete rebellion. And this is when the prophets came into being, and God raised up these prophets to testify to the nation of Israel, shape up or ship out. These psalms were written primarily from 800 BC and spanned for over 200 years. You see, the prophets, sometimes it's difficult for us to read the prophets because one after the other, one successive prophet after the other, it gets a little depressing if we're going to be honest. But the reality is that these prophets spanned for well over 200 years of Israel's history with the same message by God, shape up or ship out. These psalms reflect the need for getting right with the Lord and confessing sin. Book 4, Psalm 90 through 106, Israel doesn't heed God's words, and now they go into captivity, primarily the Assyrian captivity. These psalms were compiled to address the feelings about themselves and about God as they are now in captivity, doomed and destined for not going back to the promised land. This ranges from around 586 to 510 BC. It depicts Israel in just a terrible state of mind, having lost their country and all seems lost. But Book 5, the last collection, Psalms 107 through 150, this last collection of psalms depicts the grand days in which Israel was restored back into the land. Yes, there's a time in which God says, yes, you will be in captivity, but I'm going to restore you back to the land. This was roughly around 512 BC. So this gives you a nice, wonderful overview of the five books of the Psalms compiled by someone when, say, around Ezra-Nehemiah time period. It very well could have been Ezra the priest who compiled all of the Psalms into these five collections that shows the grand span of 500 years of Israel's history, from the early life of David to the kingly life of David to Israel's rebellion against God, to the time when Israel was held into captivity, to the time when when Israel was brought back into the land, the grand history of Israel depicted in the five Psalms. So in that overview, let's just see what the Lord has for us today as we look a little more closely at each of these five books. Book 1, Psalms 1 through 41. This depicts David's early life. This was a time in David's life where he was sure of himself. He was headstrong at times and actually quite proud. This is when David was in his 20s and 30s. And can anyone relate to that when you were in your 20s and 30s? Can you relate to a time when you thought you knew everything, when you thought you could make all the world right, when you had all the knowledge, when you thought you were smarter than your dad or your grandpa, and you just thought you had the world by the tail and you could do no wrong? This is the season in David's life. And through this season of life, David still has many trials, and we'll call them growing pains, as he's working as a young man to understand how God works in his life and understands how he can interact with people as well. One of the overarching phrases in all of these Psalms is really, God help me. Something we should all consider in that age of life. Many of us remember in our 20s and 30s, we were probably very much like David, thinking we could do no wrong and we can change the world. And through that, we see a lot of trials. We see a lot of personal trials. Certainly David going through a lot of trials with Saul. But a loving God, the creator of the universe, is bigger than you and I and can be relied on in every moment. This particular grouping of psalms ends with what's called a doxology. A doxology is a glorious word about the character of God. We probably know a very famous doxology in song. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. That's one of the famous doxologies that we used to sing back in the day. Each of these books actually ends with a doxology. It's sort of a pillar moment in which we know that this particular collection ends. Psalms 1 through 41 ends with Psalm 41:13, blessed be the Lord, God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yes, when you're in your 20s and 30s and you think you know everything, at the end you need to say, God, just help me through life. Help me in my pride. Help me in my self-sufficiency. Help me to be more like you. Blessed be your name, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. Book 2, Psalms 42 through 72, is all about David's kingly life. Now David is moving from a place of being headstrong and proud to where he's now more established. We'll call him arrived. In some measure, he's secure in his career, as it were. I think many of us can relate when we get into our 40s and 50s and a time in which our careers are established and we've sort of arrived in our career and with our families. But in the midst of these good times and secure times, there's certainly trials and there's certainly much distrust that takes place. Look at the life of David. Although David was king, he had so many family issues, particularly with his sons. He had multiple wives, multiple girlfriends. He had problems with his colleagues. It was very difficult for him to trust anyone surrounding him. And of course, there was still Saul. One of the overarching phrases in this section of Psalms is really simply, God, be my Lord. Something we all should consider when we hit that stage of our lives, when we feel like we sort of arrived and made it and we have some measure of financial security. Remember, God must be our Lord through this time. God is the great helper. He's the great Lord of our lives. He is the all-wise one to help David rule newly formed Israel, as well as helping us in our careers and life choices. At the conclusion of this book, there's another doxology, Psalm 72, 18 through 20. Psalm 72, 18 through 20. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. some of the wonderful things in the doxology. Yes, there's a blessing to the Lord, just simply a praise to the Lord God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. That's all God can do, is do wondrous things. He's pure, he's holy, he's righteous. All he can do is wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Yes, the whole earth. It's a wonderful call for all the earth to be filled with his glory. It's not for just a select few. Let the whole earth be filled with God's glory. Amen and amen. Let it be so. We move from David's early life, Psalm 1 through 41, to David's kingly life, Psalm 42 through 72, and now Book 3, this wonderful collection from Psalm 73 to 89 depicts Israel's rebellion, and these psalms depict the state of Israel as they were going through this rebellion and their need to get right with a holy God. As God, through the prophets, was imploring Israel to get right, Israel sees serious discipline due to her disobedience. Have you all been there? The moment that we think we're secure and maybe we've arrived and established, and we get into sins and God disciplines our disobedience. God asks Israel to align her life with God or keep living your life as is and pay the steep price for it. And that's exactly what God is asking us today. God is asking us to align our lives with him or keep your life as is and pay the price. The key phrase in this particular section that the authors want us to remember is simply this: God, I worship you. I don't worship me. I don't worship my things. I don't worship my self-sufficiency. I need you. After all said and done, God, I desire to worship you, not self. Amidst crises that come my way, God, I worship you, and I want to have you come first and sit at your feet. Something we all need to remember as we go through any type of stages of rebellion that we go through. God, we worship you and we align ourselves with you. This section ends with a doxology as well. Psalm 89:52. Turn there. Psalm 89:52. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. The forevermore is certainly very important here. Blessed be the Lord, not just during good times. Don't bless God just during bad times, through all situations, forevermore. Praise be to God. Let it be so. Amen and amen. Whether you're in the early stages of life, in your arrival stages of life, through any rebellion, let God be God in your life. This leads us to Book 4, Psalms 90 through 106. This is when Israel was ransacked by Assyria, Babylon, and Egypt, and went into captivity for 70 years. There's doom, there's defeat, there's despair, and there's trauma. Yes, Israel gets to the place where they're doomed. They see no way out. But through the turmoil that Israel faces, the writers of this particular section depict trust in the Lord's love. When all seems lost, God will still be with his people. Amen to that. No matter how much trauma, defeat, or doom that we go through, God promises to lovingly be with us. The key phrase throughout this is all about repentance. God, I repent. When Israel falls into this place where they had to be shipped out of their country because of their disobedience, God reaches out and says, I'm still with you. Repent of your sins. Turn away from your sinful ways. I'm still here for you. Something we all need to remember when we feel doom and despair and defeat and trials of life. God is there with us. Oh, may we just repent and get right with God. Of course, this section ends with another doxology, Psalm 106, verse 48. This Book 4 ends with a wonderful doxology that simply says this: Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen, Hallelujah, Amen, praise the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. For eternity, may we bless him. Through the doom and despair, may we bless God. And let all the people say, let it be so. Let all the people say, amen. Praise the Lord. Book 5 is the last collection that someone like Ezra or a priest put together. And this depicts Israel's restoration. Book 1 is all about David's early life in his 20s and 30s when he's proud and headstrong. Book 2 depicts David's kingly life when he was in some measure established, arrived, and secure. Book 3 is that Israel's rebellion in a place of hardship that they themselves got themselves into. Book 4 depicts Israel's captivity and the doom and despair that they feel. But Book 5 depicts Israel's restoration, God promising them to go back into the land roughly AD 510. God promises to bring back Israel into land. In other words, we can say God is the God of second chances. Amen to that. Have you been in a place of rebellion? Have you been in a place where you've backslidden, have walked away from the Lord or ran away from the Lord, and yet his love is there for you and he brings you back? He is the God of second chances. And the wonderful Psalms 107 to 150 depict very simply, God, I praise you. God, I praise you for not giving up on me. God, I praise you in your sanctuary. God, I praise you because of your presence. Unlike any other section here, the final section ends with an entire chapter of a doxology, chapter 150. But before we read that, in fact, you could actually argue that Psalms 146 through 150 are all one big closing grand doxology of all of the Psalms. God is the God of second chances. God is the God when you're in your 20s and 30s and you have growing pains and you think you can do everything. God is still the God of your life when you're arrived and established. He needs to be the Lord of your life in your rebellion. He needs to be the Lord of your life when you're in doom and despair. And Psalm 107 to 150 depicts the God of the second chances, in which we simply say, God, I praise you for who you are. In fact, if we just look at the early beginnings of Psalm 146 through 150. Notice the first couple of verses in each one. Psalm 146, verse 1. Each one of these verses starts out with praise the Lord, the Hebrew word hallelujah. Psalm 146, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Psalm 147, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant. Praise his name. Praise is beautiful to the Lord. Psalm 148, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun, moon, and stars. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of the heavens and all the waters above the heavens. Let all who have life and breath praise the name of the Lord. Psalm 149, praise the Lord. Sing praise to the Lord, a new song. Praise him in the assembly of his saints. And of course, Psalm 150, the grand doxology of all doxologies. Praise the Lord. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and the flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 150 is this grand doxology of all doxologies, three times saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Every phrase starting out with praise him. Yes, God is the God of second chances, and God is the God who should be your Lord when you're in your 20s and 30s, when you're in your 40s and 50s, when you let yourself reign and get yourself in the way. He needs to be your Lord. When you face tumultuous times, Let God be God. We have seasons of restoration. Praise Him. So really, the book of Psalms, while 150 feels random to us as we read them, they're actually put in a way, comprised or compiled by probably Ezra the priest, in a way that we can see not only the life stage that Israel went through, but the life stages that you yourself are going through. In every life stage you experience, church, just like Israel, you need to praise the Lord. In fact, you could really say we should live a doxological lifestyle. That is, bless Him. Book one, when you're young, when you think you know everything, bless Him. He's the eternal Creator God who can be relied on at any time. Book two, when you're more established, bless Him. He's the Lord and should be Lord of your life. Book three, when you let yourself reign and you let yourself do the self things and you get in the way of yourself, bless Him, worship Him. When you face tumultuous times, bless Him in all things and repent of your sins. And when you face seasons of restoration, you recall the God of the second chances of your life, praise Him, say hallelujah. He is the God of second chances. You see, at any and every stage of life, this is God's word for you. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Blessed be the Lord God of my life. God, you are the everlasting one, the eternal one who promises to uphold me. God, you do wondrous things every day. Help me to see those wondrous things. He invites all, the whole earth, to experience His glory. Praise Him at every turn of your life. Praise Him at every life stage of your life. Amen and amen. Doxology your way through life, no matter what life stage you're in. Take the Psalms in a grand scheme. As the weeks go on, we're going to look at individual Psalms, but I trust and pray today that as we've looked at the big overview of how these Psalms were put together for a specific reason, that we would allow the Lord to minister to us, to show us these areas of our lives, the life stages that we might be facing today, and how we can simply praise the Lord. Let's stand and let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, as we've just reviewed quickly the overview of these Psalms, let it minister to our hearts, Lord. I would imagine every single person listening to this today is in one of these life stages. God, if we're in our 20s and 30s today, may we just fully rely on you and not our own pride and strength. God, as we feel like maybe we've been more established in our careers and we're kind of moving and shaking, Lord, I pray that we would always just worship you and make sure that you're the head of our lives. When we've let ourselves get in the way and we let ourselves reign, Lord, may we just bless you and repent of those things and get right with you. If any are facing tumultuous times today, Lord, bless them, Lord. Let them know, God, that you're the head of their life, that you're there for them. May we bless you through our trials, God, knowing that it's producing some measure of good. Lord, thank you that you are the God of second chances. Thank you that you're here with us and for us. We praise you that you are the God of second and third and fourth and fifth and 100 chances. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. At every life stage, God, we want to doxology with you. We want to bless your name and praise your name. Amen and amen.